DW Africa Link.
The humanitarian crisis in the Democratic Republic of Congo, DRC, is rapidly worsening due to widespread sexual violence and a critical shortage of medical supplies. That includes those that prevent HIV after rape. This urgent situation, as reported by the humanitarian organization CARE, demands immediate attention. So, how dire is the situation? How does it compare to other conflicts? And what's the solution? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
Victims of sexual violence in the DRC conflict areas include women, girls, and even children. CARE says more than 67,000 cases were reported in the first 4 months of 2025. That's a 38% increase from the previous year. And there are fears that the actual numbers are likely much higher due to underreporting caused by stigma and fear. To make matters worse, in some cases, the much-needed medical assistance has also run out. It's a similar situation in Cameroon's Anglophone regions, where a separatist conflict has been ongoing since 2017, leading to widespread human rights abuses, including rape. And there seems to be no rescue coming. For more on this, let me bring in Amadou Bokoum. He is the DRC Country Director for CARE, which is the Cooperative for Assistance and Relief Everywhere, an international humanitarian organization. His outfit released the latest DRC report titled Emergency Kits Run Out Alongside Hope for DRC Sexual Violence Survivors. Thanks for coming, sir. I also have my colleague Jean-Marie Ngonsong, DW correspondent in Cameroon. He will tell us more about the situation over there in the Anglophone crisis. Hello and welcome to Africa Link. Let me start with you, Mr. Bokoum. The report is really painting a gloomy picture. Not only is it a problem that sexual violence against women and girls is on the rise, but the way to even treat some of those that need the care is also fading away. Tell us more about the report and the key findings you came out with.
Thank you very much. So what is really happening is because of increase in the fighting in the DRC, so the number of women that have been assaulted is really increasing. And at the same time also, the funding that you are receiving for most of the donor also is going down. So this means the stock that we have in the health center, that stock has really run out. So it's a really heartbreaking when a woman comes to a health center after being abused or after being raped to request for a PEP kit and to be told that there is no PEP kit left in the health center. So the reason is mainly the reduction of funding we are receiving from major donors.
So this is directly connected to the current U.S. government basically cutting off or reducing aid to countries that need them most. This is what is hitting the DRC right now.
Yeah, I can say that because the U.S. is funding 40% of the humanitarian activities in DRC. So if that 40% has been cut, and at the same time also the number of rape is drastically increasing. Because, for instance, we are having in our report about 500 cases a month during from January to now. We have an average of 500 cases a month. And then with funding cut by 40% from the U.S. has really made the situation difficult.
I mean, it's a really dire situation that you're describing. You're talking about the ongoing conflict in the DRC that, as a result of that, 500 cases of rape per month so far this year. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, correct.
Right. So then, how are you able to deal with the fact that you don't have these post-exposure prophylaxis, the PEP kits that you're talking about, which is vital in treating people that have been raped, right? And so what? You just tell them we can't help you and that's it?
We do some counseling, and we also try to help them, because we have what we call safe spaces for women. So in those safe spaces, we try to do some counseling. But at the end, if we don't have it, all those medical, then the counseling sometimes won't help, because those women are really a bit afraid if they will be contracting HIV/AIDS, or if they will be having unwanted pregnancies, or if they'll be contracting sexual transmitted diseases. Counseling cannot solve those. We need the medicine to really reassure those women who have been really hurt in their mind, and now hurt also physically, because there is no way to really assist them. So what we are doing is mainly counseling at this point.
Really, really sad, this discussion. I'm going to come back to you in a bit, Mr. Bohum. For now, crossing over to Cameroon to hear from my colleague and DW correspondent, Jean-Marie Ingonsong. Jean-Marie, welcome on board. I mean, it's really sad what we're talking about. You've been our reporter on the ground, reporting on the Anglophone crisis. And again, similar to the DRC, another conflict that rape and sexual violence is being used as a weapon of war. Tell us more about the situation on the ground, and how does it compare or differ from the situation in Cameroon, where even supporting them with the PEP kits is hardly available?
It's actually a saddening situation. You frequently hear cases of rape, and the same thing goes with fighters. And it has become so reoccurring that many people think that it has become a new normal. See, now when these girls are raped, I listened to a person talking from Democratic Republic of Congo. He's talking about prophylaxis at the availability or not the availability. It's not existing in Cameroon, and it's worse here in that most of those victims, they hardly go attended to. They don't even report, and most few organizations do very little in helping these rape victims.
In the areas where the victims are, how much support is there for them?
There is little or no support. The little support that comes in it comes from NGOs who do mostly sensitization. They mostly do campaigns on the media and proximity outreach activities in their communities. But when it comes to actually help from the situation of rape, even victims are not having access to medical care. They don't have immediate evacuation to health centers and all that. And then government too has not actually put up maybe reporting mechanisms or as assistive mechanisms for victims. Little is done this way.
So how are the victims coping?
Eddie, most victims rely on family support and friends, because first of all, the stigma of rape is something that many have not yet come over it in Cameroon. So most victims of rape, they are not even reported. Families get to treat it at their own level. And the civil society and some NGOs who they're lucky to come by or come across victims of rape, they try to give assistance and maybe counseling. But talking about immediate help, little help can be found in Cameroon because of all these factors. Just from the fact that even the victims themselves, they don't report. Families don't want to be stigmatized. Victims don't want to be stigmatized. And they don't talk about it.
Really, really sad to hear that. Thank you very much, Jean-Marie Ingonsong. I'm going to come to you again, Mr. Bokum. We've listened to all that Jean-Marie has been saying, and In your report, Mr. Bohum, you say that this year has seen a devastating surge in violence against women and girls. How are you somehow connecting with the government to address the issue? And what has the reception been like?
You know, the major situation in Congo, especially where we are working in the North Kivu and the South Kivu, and because we have the de facto authorities that are there, the M23, we have also in some of the area also we have the central government. So it's a kind of having two governments per se in those areas. So we are still working in the health centers. So those health centers being manned by the de facto authorities or mined by the central government. And we try to really sensitize the women in all those safe spaces areas. So in the different from the Cameroon, as I can hear Jean-Marie explaining, we spend a lot of activities in really ensuring that a reporting system is in place and also the survivors are encouraged to go to the health center, and those health centers are also stocked with all those PEP kits, and the health center staff also has been trained and oriented by our project. So it looks like we create a kind of demand. And now that demand is here, so what is really happening, all the stock that are there are mainly given by the NGOs and the donor. What the government is doing, they have the medical staff there that are handling those issues.
So where do we go from here? The whole deal is when you do such a report, right, Mr. Bohum, you're expecting, you know, the rest of the world to look at this and say, oh, there's really a serious situation out there and I want to help. What can we expect after this report? Where is the help going to come from, especially considering there's just too many conflicts happening around the world now? Where's the hope that you have that something can be done about the situation?
So what we are really expecting is really coming from the private sector, from the corporate, from the church. Sometimes we are having some responses from those organizations to really help us secure more PEP kit for those survivors. So the call of course is going toward the institutional donor, but we are mainly focusing more and more on private sector, the corporate, the church, and all those people with a good heart that can really come and assist those women in DRC.
And how difficult is it to get such private support?
As any fundraising, sometimes it can be difficult, sometimes it can be easier. So our success rate is between 20 to 30% success rate. It's still low. But we are still continuing to really come to support those women survivors in DRC.
Right. I'm sure I speak for a lot of people when I say that we appreciate your support and all that your organization is doing to help support the, especially women and girls that have gone through rape and sexual violence being used as a weapon of war. So very much appreciated. And thank you both for sharing your insights on this matter. Amadou Bohum, DRC Country Director for CARE, and Jean-Marie Ngonsong, DW correspondent in Cameroon. Thank you very much.
Armed groups are using sexual violence as a deliberate weapon to spread fear, break communities, and assert control. It's a serious human rights violation aimed at punishing and dividing civilian populations. And the victims are mainly women and girls. Who better to discuss the plight of women and girls than my colleague, Mimi Mefo Newu from Cameroon? Mimi, welcome to the podcast. You've extensively covered the plight of women in the Anglophone crisis in your country. Why have women's issues largely been neglected?
It's a sad one, of course, Eddie. Women issues, issues related to women are not taken seriously, particularly when it comes to the Anglophone crisis. Since the conflict began in 2016, the spotlight has been more on politics, the fighting, who is winning in terms of who is killing who more. When you see separatists killed, you see soldiers are celebrating. When soldiers are killed, separatists are celebrating. Women in the midst of this are facing a lot of challenges like rape, harassment, kidnappings, displacements. They are losing even in terms of education. We see young girls getting pregnant, young girls unable to go to school, young girls being displaced from this. Imagine just growing up in a particular locality and never knowing that you'll be forced to move from your locality to another very strange environment. So these are some of the things that women have been facing generally, and right. It's never really been priority. So just 2 days ago, particularly in Quen, that's a locality in Bamenda, a woman was shot and a bullet went through the leg. And I'm not sure that many people even know about it. Yeah. Many people have not even talked about the story of this woman.
Right.
So her suffering and that of thousands of others are treated like a side issue, some sort of. But the truth in the matter, like in all of this, is that they are some of the worst, they are the worst affected when it comes to the conflict in the Anglophone regions. Yet they get little or no protection and representation when it comes to efforts to resolve the conflict.
Right. I mean, it sounds like a very dire situation on the ground. And and what I'm beginning to understand is that over time, sexual violence, particularly on young girls, right, they emerge as some sort of a punishment for opposing armed groups or government forces. Tell us more about that. Give us some sort of picture.
Heartbreaking, like you describe it. But yes, that's the picture on the ground. Sexual violence has become a weapon that's been used in the current war in the Northwest and the Southwest, the English-speaking regions. Both the government forces, like I said, and the separatists are using like rape, sexual violence, and other forms of abuse to punish even women. Girls have been forced to have sex just to pass through checkpoints. You know, here and now in the Anglophone regions, there are checkpoints controlled by security forces and there are checkpoints controlled by separatists. Sometimes when they have to pass through these checkpoints, they are subjected to abuse. And these are some of the things that are underreported. And recently we saw the report by the Norwegian Refugee Council saying that the conflict in the two Anglophone regions are highly underreported because of some of these things are going on.
Right.
There's no database. There is no, there's nowhere where the government is saying that let us put this together and see how to help some of these victims. That is not all. Girls have been forced to even, you know, go through, there have been attacks. They have been attacked even in school. There have been cases where young girls have been carried, like bonded out of school, stripped naked, disgraced, by either the separatists or the soldiers who are there on the ground fighting. This is usually meant to scare or humiliate them because sometimes when you do that, you don't want them to go out. But to me, is that the strategy? Is that how people should go about fighting for what they call independence? Is that how the soldiers should go about instilling peace and order that they claim to be instilling? And sometimes the consequences are dire. Stigma. Sometimes they undergo, like they can even be infected with diseases. You never
of
know
course,
because
yeah.
if you go through sexual violence, it's something that, you know, the repercussions. That's why we have a lot of teen pregnancies cases of young girls just getting pregnant in the Anglophone region. So it's just a lot going on.
It definitely is a lot. And you make a valid point about it's not just a case of sexual violence, which in itself is a huge problem, but the repercussions, the diseases. We just spoke about the situation in the DRC based on a report by CARE, and especially the conflict hit areas in the DRC, not Kivu side and all. HIV rates are about 3 times higher than the average in the whole country, right, combined. And so that really tells the very dire situation that women and young girls are going through.
Yeah, the thing about the DRC case is that when it's been tracked, it's been checked, and report it is different, so that the powers that are in place can see how to mitigate or reduce the rate of infections. But the case, what is happening in the Anglophone regions is completely different, because nothing is being talked about. These situations, they go highly underreported because human rights organizations are not even allowed to these regions. Journalists have been forced to drop their pens or leave these areas. We even see the Committee to Protect Journalists, Human Rights Watch, they have tried to come to Cameroon to see the situation firsthand, and they were never given access. So it's really, really difficult, and it's getting worse because it's not reported.
Right. That is an even bigger problem, because if it's not reported, how do you find solutions to it? Which hopefully we'll try to come up with some as you and I wrap this up. But again, what is the role of the government in all of this? This is something you would assume as a government who's trying to take care of your people, that this is a major issue. What is being done?
Eddie, when I hear that a young girl has been kidnapped, I fear, because it's like they're on their own. You don't know whether there's going to be any effort in place to try to rescue you. You've been kidnapped by a separatist who says he or she is fighting for your freedom, for your independence. These are people who came up. They are now armed in the Anglophone regions, fighting, claiming to be fighting for independence, but they kidnap young girls. So when I hear that, my heart breaks, because they are on their own. That is how it is now. There's a saying in Cameroon that any man for yourself, God for all of us. That is what prevails now in the Anglophone region. So right now, the government's response is far from enough. In many cases, soldiers are also accused, like I said earlier, of rape. They punish young girls. The government even denies that some of these things happen. I want to talk with specific examples. We have cases where young girls came and said, I was abused by these soldiers in front of the camera to journalists. And the government claimed to take up such cases, but we never know how it ended. So we need to develop a culture where victims are not just afraid to talk, because even when you talk sometimes, you will be victimized. You could be arrested for talking, where they can be protected, where they can speak freely about these things that are happening, so that we can have a database of some of these atrocities, I can call it, being committed on the ground for future reference.
Right. And so clearly, as you say, nothing much is coming from the government side. But what are experts saying they should be doing to help deal with it?
They should be organizing peace talks, genuine peace talks, to see how to put an end to the conflict that is happening. They should be going to the ground. They should be talking to the right people. It should not be about politics. It should not be about who is winning the war. It should be about who are those affected. Who are these women? How can we bring these women together? How can we help them? I really don't see these initiatives. Do you know, Eddie, that we have a lot of Cameroonians who are currently refugees in neighboring Nigeria? Many of them who fled the conflict, they are now in Nigeria. They don't have homes. Some of their villages have been completely wiped out. Young girls are not able to go to school. This is a generation of children that we will see in future, like future illiterates in a way. Most of them have now fled even to the Francophone parts of Cameroon. But access to education is a big problem, because there is no money. There is no structure in place to assist these victims. There is nothing in place to tell us, when is this war ending? Is the government even doing enough? The government is doing practically nothing. Commissions upon commissions created, no results. Meetings upon meetings being held, no results.
Right.
There's even a reconstruction project, Eddie, that is going on. How can you be talking of reconstruction project in a conflict zone when there is still war?
Exactly.
Instead of trying to solve the problem.
Right.
My worry is, if it continues, it's nine years now, and we are counting, how long are we supposed to go for it to end? And what could be the repercussions if it continues?
Right.
It will be a lot.
All very good questions. $1 billion questions, Mimi. And we can only hope and keep our fingers crossed that the more we talk about it, the more authorities are pressured to deal with it. Mimi Mefo, my colleague right here with me, who's been covering extensively the Anglophone crisis in Cameroon. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Eddie. Thank you.
survivors are caught in a deadly trap of violence, stigma, and lack of access to life-saving care. Experts say the international community must urgently increase funding, replenish medical supplies such as PEP kits, and support comprehensive care programs to address this humanitarian emergency. Without swift action, thousands more women and girls will endure preventable suffering and loss. We'd like to hear from you on this, so please share your thoughts with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Your voice is crucial in raising awareness about this issue. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW, made for mind.